WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Chinese President Xi Jinping and President Trump are now meeting face-to-face in South Korea. More from CBS's Linda Kenyon.
President Trump opened the meeting.
President Xi is a great leader of a great country.
Speaking through an interpreter, President Xi acknowledged recent trade tensions.
It is normal for the two leading economies of the world to have frictions now and then.
The meeting, which follows a summit with Asian leaders in South Korea, came after President Trump posted on social media, saying the U.S. will immediately start testing nuclear weapons. He cited other countries, including Russia, saying, quote, "I have instructed the Department of War to start testing our nuclear weapons on an equal basis." Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
People in Jamaica are beginning the long process of cleaning up following Hurricane Melissa's 185-mile-per-hour winds. Jason Dennis rode out the storm from his home in Santa Cruz, Jamaica.
It was terrifying, but in Jamaica, we have gotten accustomed to hurricanes. I've been through...
But you're not accustomed to a hurricane like this.
Well, it was just... Let me say a few degrees worse.
There have been dozens of deaths across Jamaica, Haiti, and Cuba. CBS's Ashton Altieri has the latest on Melissa's track.
Still a tremendous amount of rain that the storm will produce. We're looking at least a half a foot of rain for many of the islands across the Bahamas, in addition to the threat for storm surge, very dangerous storm surge. And then even though the wind is less than it was, 90-mile-per-hour wind gusts will still create damage. So the wind remains a concern as well.
A 38-year-old North Carolina man who called 911 and said he had killed his children over several months and that their bodies were in the trunk of a vehicle in his home garage has been charged with four counts of murder. Wellington Dickens III is being held without bond. Johnston County Sheriff Steve Bazell.
There's no known motive at this point why Mr. Dickens murdered these children. But as the sheriff, as a father, and as a grandfather, I can stand here and say there's no reason for a father to murder his children.
The children were ages 6 to 18 years. Dickens' wife died in April of 2024 after suffering a miscarriage. An Illinois jury has convicted former sheriff's deputy Sean Grayson of second-degree murder in last year's shooting death of Sonia Massey during a confrontation involving a pot of hot water. As Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson explains,
the prosecution had been seeking a first-degree murder conviction. The jury came back with second degree. But that's not a surprise, because it's often very difficult to convict police officers in the first place.
AI chip maker NVIDIA is the first $5 trillion company. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
News, weather, and sports for the Chippewa Valley right here on WCFW, streaming 24/7 online at WCFW.fm.
Jordan Love, Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers quarterback Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after his performance Sunday night against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Love threw for 360 yards, three touchdowns, and had the highest quarterback rating of his career at 134.2. A month ago, he threw an interception in the fourth quarter against Cleveland that cost him in that game against the Browns. Was that an opportunity to grow from?
Everything's a growth opportunity. You know, you talk about that game, you talk about years past games, you know, you go all the way back to playoff game in San Fran, ending the game on a pick. So there's so many moments that are learning opportunities that, you know, you get back in these situations again at the end of games when it's the most critical times. You got to go make plays and you take all those experiences and just kind of learn from them. And some of these situations, you got to go out there and make plays and you got to make some of these tight contested throws, but it's all about being smart. You know, I've learned from all those mistakes and go out there and maybe win the game on a 2-minute drill.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WCFW is your home for real news and great conversation in the Chippewa Valley.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds for tonight, a low in the low 30s. A mostly cloudy day ahead for tomorrow, a high right around 50. Maybe a sprinkle or shower Friday, more clouds, highs upper 40s. Cooler temps again on Saturday, warming up for Sunday. Right now it's 33.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, how to not get burned by the same old insurance games when it comes to Medicare Advantage, which really isn't anything like regular Medicare.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of civic media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via texts, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of civic media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by our next guest. She is the chair of the Outagamie County Democrats and a candidate for the state Senate. Our friend Emily Zephos is here. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm excited to be here again with y'all.
Busy woman. You had a column in Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area talking about why you are running again. And if you don't mind, Emily, I just want to read just a little portion of your piece, which is fantastic, and we'll include this in our show notes so everybody can read it. This is just a portion, again, of Emily's piece in the Recombobulation Area. National media outlets are being forced to sign loyalty pledges to gain access to briefings for the Department of Defense. Those who refuse are denied entry. Federal agencies being purged and repopulated with loyalists. Governors in Texas, Florida, and Iowa fast-tracking new restrictions on voting, rolling back child labor laws, gutting environmental oversight. Wisconsin's own far-right lawmakers watching closely, ready to duplicate all of these policies. Here I am, deciding to run in another unwinnable district again. Why did you decide to do this?
I think it kind of lays it out right there. There's a lot that's falling away right now, and a lot that's being turned back to the states. And what we need in order to prevent like the dam from fully breaking is people that are willing to stand up and willing to do the right thing. And even in an unwinnable district, they deserve better representation than they've been getting. They deserve someone that knows it well enough to fight for exactly what it needs. And I'm dedicated to chipping away at the mountain out there. I think that now with everything being in crisis, it's really, really important that those of us that can step up do.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you're running. You are, like, every time we talk, you are doing 10,000 things because you're very, you just keep yourself so engaged in the community. And yeah, I mean, unwinnable, I beg to differ on that matter. But I think with someone like you, you bring, as you said, so much knowledge, because we see so many people out there who just, especially in the pre-Fair Maps Wisconsin, who kind of just got to run and win because they just said the right things, and then they didn't really have to work for the people. And that's not how you roll personally and how you would in office, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's just really important to like have someone there that is making a candidate work or making the incumbent work, and responding to issues and offering just like a different way, a different approach, right? Like there are a lot of problems that persist and the GOP is in charge right now. So I think contrasting, you know, like this is still a pain point for you, which means they haven't solved it. Let me tell you what I'm going to do to fix it. that's what we want to do. And that's what those folks deserve. So it's a lot of one-on-one and all that stuff.
Well, and that leads us to the next question. I'm curious. First of all, Emily, tell us about the district that you're running in. What does it encompass? Where is it? And how many places does it cover?
I am really digging into the map right now because it's so new. So it covers the 56th Assembly District, which is where I ran last time, Appleton and westward. So we're talking Black Creek, Shiocton, Maple Creek, New London. But this now extends into like Wapaka and Washera counties and then down into Winnebago and a teeny tiny little bit of Portage. There's like Almond, Wisconsin in there. So I'm learning about all these like new towns and I'm excited to get out there and start connecting with folks.
And that's something that, you know, we talk to a lot of candidates on this show and on this network. And one thing I always want to ask our candidates for our offices, what are you hearing from the people at doors, at events, on the phone calls, specifically the ones, the concerns people have that connect us regardless of who you voted for? So, you know, kitchen table economy is something that affects us all. Jobs, affordability for housing, for childcare, all the education, marijuana legalization. What are the things that you're hearing out there that's kind of the through lines? And also, how is it connecting people who may come from different political backgrounds?
I think it's like the cost of things. And when we like talk through things, you know, like I think there's so much manipulation happening that cause you to like say these, you know, they're repeating headlines or banners. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so to dig into that and say, oh, okay, so you're talking about like safety in schools and making sure our kids are safe. Like, I agree. Like, yes, our kids should be safe in school, but the approach is different. And I think like when you acknowledge, like, we've got that in common first, let's work toward like understanding like what is actually going to treat the root of a problem rather than something that is manufactured or that is simply a Band-Aid over, you know, a bleed. Like, we really need to get back to that. And that's what I'm hearing and what I always try to connect to. Like, I don't ever want to go to a door and be like, your problem's not real. Like, yeah, that's a bad way to start.
Vote for me.
Yeah. But can I have your support?
Yeah.
But I think like to say things like, you know, like, I hear you. I understand that you're operating out of fear and like, you know, anger. But here's what's true about that. Here's what's not. Let's go back and forth about it. And it's really like refreshing to have people. There are certain people that you're like, okay, well, we're too far gone.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm just a little misinformed because people can't get into the weeds. So that's like another problem, right?
Well, if you're just joining us, Emily Zippos is our guest. She's the chair of Outagamie County Democrats and also running now for the Wisconsin State Senate. I think it's what you say, Emily, is so important. And this is evidenced by Senator Lindsey Graham. It was either yesterday or the day before, got busted in a committee hearing when his phone announced, call Sean Hannity. Republican Party has an information juggernaut. So they tell Sean Hannity what message they want put out, and Sean Hannity does that, and all the right-wing podcasters pick up on that, and they keep reinforcing this message over and over and over again, and it's really hard to fight that, as you're finding out in real time.
Mm-hmm. And I think like the only way to break through that noise and what I thought like last time when I ran too is like door to door. So it's like, it's painfully slow, but like when you get to know somebody and you don't ask for that transactional, just vote for me, but you're like, well, let's hear it out. Let's have this discussion. It takes a little longer. But I think that's where you can start to like, you know, make cracks appear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, reconsider this. And it helps to open those conversations up.
And that's something too, that, you know, we see in for the show, whether it's live stream comments or text messages or emails or voice notes, there are times that people are speaking where I just want to say, look, I'm not telling you you're bad or anything. I'm telling you that you have been lied to. And it's about trying to say that without one being as dramatic as I just got right there, but also allowing someone the space and comfort to really think through and have that self. That's tough in this day and age, but also knocking on doors when you have a time frame, but really trying to make them understand that, look, I'm not going to belittle you, say I told you so, but I'm here to talk to you. And I think this is where our state representative comes in, because this is a direct line. The things that, Emily, you would be talking about and deciding on and voting on have direct impacts. And it's important for people to know that here's the transparent results I want to present versus just talking points built on lies, built on fear. It's almost a form of deprogramming to a sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think it's really important because I see so much of the time that people are like, you voted for this. Like, no. Nope, that's not what we do right now.
Yeah.
What we do right now is we say, I am so sorry that you were lied to.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
he told you that prices were going to go down. He told you all this stuff. It's not happening. And you were lied to and you were used. I'm not here to do that. I want to know what hurts so that I can help. And I think like going and having us do that, like as a party, whether we are electeds or candidates, is so critical right now, not to rub anybody's face in it, because if they're hurting, that's real. And we have to acknowledge that and try to fix it.
That's such an important point, Emily. There's so much, you know, F-A-F-O, and now you're finding out and ha ha ha. And that's not helping anybody, and that's not going to fix anything.
And I think there's plenty of evidence to support that when society got in people's faces to say they were wrong or you're wrong for asking questions or for being frustrated or being angry, that instead of having the conversations, instead when you got in people's faces and said, well, you're horrible or whatever, it didn't really help the cause. It didn't make them vote for you. It didn't make them want to communicate. It only drove them away and taken more information from people who supported those confirmation, or I shouldn't say confirmation biases, those concerns that then created confirmation bias. So yeah, I don't disagree. I see videos all the time, especially pointing fingers at farmers. And I know that's a deep, nuanced discussion as far as voting, but absolutely, do not do that to them, because this is a far deeper issue. And I can't even imagine the conversations, especially up where you're at, having with farmers and the farmlands and the things, especially right this moment they're going through.
Well, and again, I think the bigger fight is not middle class and lower class and working people fighting each other. It is us versus billionaires. That's exactly where the fight is. Mm-hmm. And that is our common, I'm sorry, enemy, because I feel like
that's so important. And that's something that I pointed, I did this little thing on Snap because we're doing a food drive right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you pay on average, like average Wisconsinite, which makes about $68,000 a year, pays like a little less than $50 annually in taxes to cover that. That's their contribution to SNAP. We pay $1,000, that same person, in corporate subsidies, right? We're not fighting. And while we're fighting each other, they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yes.
It's wild.
$1,000 in corporate subsidy, Emily. I'm sorry, I'm about to get snarky and sarcastic here. That sounds like socialism to me.
Well, you know, welfare for the wealthy.
Absolutely. And while you're on the topic, tell us about this food drive you're doing. I mean, we know why, but give us the background of the food drive, where people can go and how they can be either of service or get some service help if they need it.
Sure. Yeah. I will say that these things are happening across the state and across the country, which is incredible. It's ordinary people that are showing up and doing the right thing in this moment. Here in the 19th Senate District, what we wanted to do was demonstrate like a coordinated kind of effort so that we have multiple drop-off points from Wyoega up through Black Creek over to Grand Chute. And we're trying to specifically target and supplement those smaller rural food banks that don't have deep shelves or a lot of storage space, but are going to see an increase come those benefits being taken away on November 1st. And so it's on my website. I sound like a, you know, like a politician. It's emilysefos.com is where you can find more information on that. But I would encourage you to look into what your local community can do, so because you can make a real impact right now.
Well, and I think it's important also, Emily, and people have this misconception of people who use SNAP. So when we're talking about rural areas, a lot of these people are working people, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think that's like 89%. Like I went into it because I've been getting different comments about like SNAP in general, and it is staggering the amount of people that are working as hard as they can and they still can't get by. And frankly, it's because these systems are set up to prevent that from happening. Like that's the way that this whole thing is broken.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is build it better. But like, I think it's really important that we combat all of that. You know, again, it's those headlines and the misinformation that exists out there to say this is exactly how many people, and I don't have it in front of me, but it is the majority of people that are using SNAP are employed. They also like maybe are using it one or two weeks out of the month to just get by
as a supplement.
Like, I'm really worried. Yeah. But I'm really worried about those people that are on the bubble that are like, I'm doing everything right. And I still can't make it.
I'm doing what I was told I need to do.
Yes.
That's always it. This is what America told me I need to do. And it's still not enough.
We're going
to
continue our conversation with Emily Sefos on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Stay close.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. The metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This weekend, we all fall back. Daylight saving time ends and we turn our clocks back 1 hour. It's also a good time to check your smoke detectors and replace those batteries. Stay safe, stay on time. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by the Outagamie County Chair of the Democratic Party and a state Senate candidate, Emily Zephos, is our guest.
And Emily, the last time you were on the show, we were talking about, once again, an article that you wrote for the Recombobulation Area, and that one was titled, How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. And you are a Democrat. You wear multiple hats, one of those hats being the Outagamie County Chair for the Democrats. And I want to talk about that article in as much as your campaign right now. Democrats have a lot of work to do after last year's election, and I want to know, now that you are hitting the ground running, knocking on doors, making phone calls, representing the party, what are you doing to help rebuild that trust, help bring people in and build bridges and networks and just, you know, kind of form those coalitions that are needed to fight for everyday folks? And as we said earlier, folks who may have voted for Donald Trump last year, but are finding out that the sting wasn't worth it.
Oop. I think you're muted, Em. Oh, there we go.
There we are.
Okay.
We
could, yeah. I'm good. Okay. Yep. We're doing a lot. I feel like we're running 500 directions every day. But like one of the things we're really focused on is connecting those pain points to policy. I think like what's unique to us is that while there are like nonprofits that are doing incredible work locally, they can't say, here's why this exists. Like, here's what we're trying to do because of policy points. Like, we can. And so here in Outagamie County, we really feel like that's part of our work right now, is to make sure that as things are hitting you in the face, or you're feeling it in your pocketbook, or you're sitting at your table, like wondering how you're going to pay your bills at the end of the month, like to talk about all of the different policy decisions that were made, whether in Madison or Washington, that led to that pain. So doing that and then showing up authentically, I think it's like doing the community aid and not asking for anything in return. Too often, I think politics is transactional. And so we're really trying to show up for our neighbors and just be like, we're just here. Like we're
just
here to help.
Just a chance.
And that's all.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you for a donation. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like I'm not going to send you, I don't know about you guys, but the text and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, there are big issues that we are trying to help our community with right now. Not the time.
Yeah, definitely not the time.
And that's definitely something that can turn people off. And we hear about it every time in elections. And there's, and Wisconsin, I think we can all say safely, there's no such thing as election season anymore. We're always in election mode in this state.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think those are important points to talk about that, you know, you're regular folk trying to represent other folks and trying to get things done.
We were talking before we went to the break, Emily, about trying to beat misinformation. And our president continues to say almost on a daily basis that the price of everything is down. The price of everything is down. Calvin, we have a clip of Donald Trump. Let's hit that clip, please.
So I just want everyone to know prices are way down.
Way down.
And that's a big thing. Groceries, everything. If you look at fuel, $2.35 a gallon, a lot of that. But we actually had four states where it's down $1.99.
Are you hearing this at doors? Do people say, oh, prices are down everywhere because the president says so?
Yeah. I mean, you do like think you do that. And then when I go, you know, as a neighbor, I'm like, oh, I go to the Piggly Wiggly, right? Like eggs were up last week. Like, I don't know what eggs you're buying, but my eggs like cost a lot more. And so to say that to them, like, I'm your neighbor. There is evidence. Locally,
I shop at the same place as you. Yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh. It helps to break through. And they're like, oh yeah, that's true. But if you don't just like counter that, then they're like, oh, well, yeah.
And just as a first of all, the fact he said $1.99, he's back to that. But that was what he was saying for the longest time. The fact he said $2.35, I'm like, oh, even your gas prices have gone up. But as of today, as of right now, the AAA national average is $3 and about 3-4 cents. And Wisconsin averages about $2.78, which is down. But as we talked to Matt Randolph earlier this week, the reason why the prices have gone down is because the season changing blends. This is not the work of him or any president.
No, it's not. Gas prices, no. Real briefly, Emily, because we're just about out of time. Let's talk about these missing posters.
Oh, gosh. Yes. the Green Bay, yes. There's a lot happening up here, isn't there? Yeah, so there was a press conference last week where Tony Weed and a couple of local electeds came out and they said, I mean, there were missing posters put up, there were posters put up around the area. Where's Tony Weed and all of that. And what kind of came out of that is like the decrying Democrats. And to be clear, this is unsubstantiated. Like there is, nobody knows who put those up. It was an individual, like no idea. But the rhetoric from him continues to be, Democrats are, you know, are dehumanizing us and they're using violent rhetoric and stuff like that. And we're just like, we're so tired of it because if you're going to call it, it shouldn't exist anywhere. But if you are going to call out anything, make sure that you are applying that equally to both sides.
Yeah.
Because I know a colleague of yours over in the 3rd Congressional District that is always on Twitter.
I think we know who that is. Anything. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, it's unfortunate that he doubles down on this stuff and continues to try to make news about it. And really, like, it shouldn't exist anywhere. It's existed for a long time. Like, ask any woman running for politics or holding elected office about what's in their DMs, right? Like what's in their emails and things like that. Mm-hmm. It is awful and violent. And so like what we need to do is across the board condemn it without trying to score those political points. I think that's what's the most frustrating thing for me. Like, be genuine about it. If you really think this shouldn't exist, then just condemn it across the board.
Absolutely.
And don't try to use us.
Absolutely. And if he's so upset about those missing posters, then maybe we should just put him on a milk carton. Maybe that'll be a little more palatable, unless he's lactose intolerant. Emily Zephos is the chair of the Democrats in Outagamie County and running for state Senate. Thank you so very much for your time, Emily. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
News coming up next. And then when we come back with a little audio sorbet, it's Salad Wars.
Yeah.
All the important things talked about on this program. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WCFW and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a stunner in the World Series tonight.
The Jays are one win away from their first title in 32 years.
Pretty amazing. I know this crowd's kind of stunned here.
That call from Fox, the Dodgers have a chance for a comeback Friday. President Trump is meeting with Chinese President Xi in South Korea. A trade deal between the U.S. and China could be signed within hours.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with a friend of mine, really for a long time now, if you think about it. The very, very distinguished and respected President of China.
The extent of the damage from Hurricane Melissa in Jamaica is still not clear. CBS's Ashton Altieri.
There is some additional rain in the forecast, particularly for Jamaica through the end of the week. That could aggravate the flooding situation a little bit, but it's not going to be anywhere on the magnitude of what we just saw with this hurricane.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Jordan Love, Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers quarterback Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after his performance Sunday night against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Love threw for 360 yards, three touchdowns, and had the highest quarterback rating of his career at 134.2. A month ago, he threw an interception in the fourth quarter against Cleveland that cost him in that game against the Browns. Was that an opportunity to grow from?
Everything's a growth opportunity. You know, you talk about that game, you talk about years past games, you know, you go all the way back to playoff game in San Fran, ending the game on a pick. So there's so many moments that are learning opportunities that, you know, you get back in these situations again at the end of games when it's the most critical times. You got to go make plays and you take all those experiences and just kind of learn from them. And some of these situations, you got to go out there and make plays and you got to make some of these tight contested throws, but it's all about being smart. You know, I've learned from all those mistakes and go out there and maybe win the game on a 2-minute drill.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell or High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WCFW in the app and the news comes to you.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds for tonight, a low in the low 30s. A mostly cloudy day ahead for tomorrow, a high right around 50. Maybe a sprinkle or shower Friday, more clouds, highs upper 40s. Cooler temps again on Saturday, warming up for Sunday. Current temp is 30.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Let's say you have a couple who's about to get married. You get them a gift at the wedding shower. You get them a gift at the wedding. You get them a gift at the baby shower. If they buy a house, you get them a housewarming gift.
I have never been married. I doubt I ever will be. What do? You just say, I'm going to celebrate my singlehood. Bring me a gift. Brett Brown Deer says, Todd, you don't get a gift for not getting married because you already won by staying single.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thank you to our guest, Emily Zephos. Again, we have all kinds of links in our show notes. Yes. That Greg puts together. It's really great. Check it out at civicmedia.us. Go to shows at the very top. Go to Matt Nair on Air. And there is an archive of about 2 months worth of shows. Mm-hmm. And Greg has a great little compilation of what we talked about on the show, who the guests were, and then all kinds of links to the articles that we referenced and all stuff like that. So take advantage of it. If you would like to find out more, go to civicmedia.us.
I wanted to read this really quick because we didn't get a chance to get to this with Emily Zephos. And I also want to thank Amy Berrio for being here, too. This has been a fantastic show with great guests. I wanted to drop this really quick because she made mention about who uses SNAP. And she dropped some information here. She said 15.7 million workers, that's about 10% of all U.S. workers, were in households that participated in SNAP the past year. Nationally, 55% of families of SNAP are working as well. So that's just a nice, no pun intended, snapshot of who's using it and why it's important we should help them out. So
yeah,
there you go.
There's working people.
Yeah.
And kids,
like,
and
us,
senior citizens on fixed incomes, mm-hmm, who avail themselves of SNAP. Yes. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news and take a breath. So we don't crack up. I essentially think it's for me, so I don't crack up.
I just got a call saying that apparently with Audio Sorbet, we clean their ears with fun.
That is what we say.
Thank you very much. Yes. Have a good day.
So today's Audio Sorbet topic, salad wars.
Yeah.
It started yesterday.
Before, off air, by the way.
before and after the show.
Sometimes we get a few of them in one discussion.
Argument. Extended discussion, we'll say, over salad. First of all, do you like salad?
Mm-hmm.
What are your salad rules?
Yeah.
Are there things you won't eat on a salad?
Yeah.
My father hated salads.
Did he ever say why?
No.
Okay.
And you didn't ask. And you didn't ask him either.
I was going to say, of that generation, you never asked.
You never asked. He just didn't eat salad. but you have hard and fast salad rules.
Oh, all right.
At least as far as the savory sweet thing.
Okay.
You're very adamant about.
Last week we spoke about, was it dessert? No, breakfast foods.
Breakfast wars.
And I made the claim, and I stick by this, that I don't particularly enjoy mixing my savory and sweet. There are always moments where it can happen, and it does work. Caramel and sea salt, that always works for me.
Okay.
I do not want to be the poster boy of intolerance towards this topic.
And intolerance.
And every time we talk about it, I'm made to seem like I am the grumpy, shaking his fist at the sky grandpa who just can't handle the new things and the technology of the youth. I just don't like putting cranberries in salad.
See, and I love like a cranberry walnut with feta salad.
It's too many competing flavors.
Oh, it's yummy.
That's great.
It all works together.
See me being open-minded, Jane? That's a great choice for you. Go ahead, have at it.
So salad judgmental.
I'm full of salad acceptance.
You're open to all salads?
It seems like someone's full of oil and vinegar.
855.
That's a dressing joke.
752-484. 855-75-CIVIC.
See, this is what happens when you get...
get all discombobulated about this. 855-752-4842. Salad Wars, our discussion for Audio Sorbet today. Do you salad? What kind of salad do you like? Do you not? I will have a salad, but not with this on it.
And that's what I want to know for you. Like,
what is the... No hard-boiled eggs.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
No hard-boiled eggs.
Would that be a Cobb salad then? Is that what's in
it? And I will have a Cobb salad, but no eggs.
Okay.
I don't like them. And Calvin, you're with me on that.
Yeah, I don't like eggs at all.
Yeah.
So we're not doing the hard-boiled on my salad. Don't pollute my
salad. So no scrambled eggs on your salad? No.
No.
Poached eggs on your salad. And just being funny. So no.
Poached eggs look like aliens. There's something.
So no egg salad sandwiches.
No. Stop. Salad Wars, 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel about salads?
Well, actually, I have a lot to say. First question, I'd just like to ask you, if you don't have eggs on your salad, is eggs okay in potato salad?
No.
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 Oh, my gosh.
No.
You only like eggs one way.
I like them scrambled.
Salad for you, then. I love salad, and I love it with ranch dressing, and then I like to have the bacon...
Bacon bits?
Okay.
And I also like sunflower seeds.
I'll do that.
And then croutons, but my croutons have to be crushed. So they're like...
So breadcrumbs.
Why do they have to... Why do the croutons have to be crushed, Ollie?
Oh, I just like the... It tastes better if it's...
You like the texture of it?
Yeah.
Hey.
It just... kind of mixes with the whole salad that way.
Let no one say here that we discriminate here on salads.
We're open to all salads.
You get in front of a salad bar, oh my gosh, it's what this country should be. An open, welcoming place of just whatever toppings you would like.
You bet. Whatever floats your boat.
Exactly. Whatever floats your boat. Thank you very much,
salad.
Ollie.
Thanks a lot, Ollie. Really appreciate it. Salad Wars is our audio sorbet today. You can join the conversation, text or call at 855-752-4842.
I was just going to say, when we went up to the Northwoods this summer, we went to that wonderful, wonderful restaurant and had where the cabins were, and I'm so forgetting right now, and I apologize.
I was on Butternut Lake.
Butternut Lake. I'm going to look that up as we're
Butternut
talking.
Butternut Lake Resort.
Yes, thank you very much. And they had a little salad bar there, and everything Ollie, and in the Northwoods, on Butternut Lake. Everything she described was what I put on my salad.
Sunflower seeds,
croutons, bacon bits, ranch. I think I did Thousand Island. I go fancy. I'm a diplomat. Okay. But yeah, that selection right there reminds me of every salad bar I went to as a kid, whether it was Old Country Buffet, whether it was Golden Corral, whether it was Wendy's. Remember when Wendy's had a salad bar?
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's very much. What would you say the most controversial thing you put on your salad is, if you do?
Well, I would go back to the walnuts and the cranberries, but that's a very specific salad.
I feel like you can get that salad at a Panera,
probably. Panera, yeah. I've got a bunch of texts coming in. Liz from Saukville listening on WAUK. I love salads. There are so many options, but absolutely no eggs, boiled, fried, or whatever. Thank you, Liz. You are right.
People who are allergic to eggs notwithstanding, I did not know that there was this much dislike for eggs until I married Bridget, who can't eat them because she becomes nauseous, and I've watched her try. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do scrambled,
mm-hmm.
but that's it.
Yeah.
And if I can throw a whole bunch of cheese in my scrambled, that makes it even better.
So you like cheese.
Of course, I'm from Wisconsin. Carol from Madison on WAUK. I don't like sweet on salad, no fruit.
Okay, there you are.
Although I do like a lime vinaigrette.
Okay.
I have a friend who doesn't like cheese on her salad. We may have to ban her from the state. I think you're right, Carol. She's got to go.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
I thought we were salad tolerant, apparently. Maybe not so much.
Speaking of my wife, she does no dressing.
None. Isn't no dressing on no your dressing. Salad?
No, just it's just, like this weekend we went to Madison and went to get some food. Shout out to Laney's Steakhouse in Madison. Very, very tasty. And there was a side salad and they said, what would you like on the dressing? And he started reading them off and she goes, I'll just no dressing. He goes, so dry. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, that sounds weird.
No salt, no pepper, no nothing.
No, she enjoys the vegetables that are on the plate, which I completely understand.
She's a far better person than I am. Far, far better person than I am. I won't drown it in dressing.
Yeah.
But I got to have some.
Yeah.
For a little boost.
Oh, no, I get that. I get that. And that's why I kind of go towards now the more like not the vinaigrettes or like the oil-based ones because they'll add some flavor, but it's not just covered in like French dressing.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew from Maine listening on WAUK. I love a good salad. Don't eat as many as I should. Mm-hmm. I prefer dressing that is light.
Yes.
Balsamic, Italian on the side. Throw on any vegetables you want and most proteins, although I might be concerned if it showed up with oysters. Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree. No oysters on my salad.
Also, I don't order salads at restaurants.
Like, only if it comes with?
Yeah. I don't, it's not my meal of choice. Like, I'm not going to spend.
Because now they make them big enough where it's a meal.
But then they're also, basically, it's like, oh, cool. I ordered a hamburger and got salad, too. Like it's so chalked with stuff. But still, it's like, I'd just rather have a burger or something like that.
Something with a little more substance. Mm-hmm. Salad Wars is our audio sorbet discussion today at 855-752-4842. Do you like salad? What is your salad of choice? Mm-hmm. What do you put on your salad? What vegetables are an absolute no? Not doing it. You can't make me. Al from Campbellsport is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Al. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel about salads?
Scrambled eggs. Oh, baby, how I love your legs.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Al. Well, thank you very much.
That was interesting. I'm confused.
Thank you, Al, very much for calling.
By the way, a side note, if you're going to call in, you want to turn the radio down in the background.
But who doesn't love a limerick?
Because that there's kickback and there's feedback that we get that way. So,
Calvin, what are your thoughts on salad? I feel like you're going to say something that's totally on brand.
Well, I have a similar opinion on salad that I do to soup. It should only be an appetizer or a side dish. It should never be the main thing.
Never a meal.
Yeah.
And I guess, I like a basic salad, lettuce, cherry tomatoes, maybe some shredded carrots and maybe cucumber or something. But ranch dressing is usually my go-to. I might mix ranch and French if I'm feeling adventurous.
Bold. Oh, we call that French.
Living on the edge of dressing.
He's a man of culture, folks. French and ranch together.
What about peppers?
Oh, well, if there are green peppers in there, I'm fine with it. But one thing I do love, and this is not, I'm not paid by them, but I will go there whenever it's suggested, is Olive Garden salad.
That is a good salad.
They throw pepperoncinis, and every time I go to Olive Garden with somebody, nobody likes the pepperoncinis. I get
so you get
the
them all?
Oh, yeah. And I just chop them down.
Rick from Mequon texting in, who doesn't love a good spinach salad with warm bacon dressing? I'm with you on that, Rick. Warm. And Tanya in Wanderoos, no iceberg lettuce. My favorite is spinach.
Yes.
And I also love fruit yogurt as dressing.
Oh, interesting. That sounds good. Okay. I will, if the salad comes with iceberg, usually it does. Also, can I just say something really quick here? The wedge salad is just a fancy way of saying iceberg lettuce, but it's $17.
Because it's in a big chunk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You've just assembled my salad into a higher priced item.
I think we're going to put wedge salads into our food gripe category. That'll lead us to a whole nother different sorbet. Finally, we have the alter ego on the live stream says grilled chicken on my salad with Thousand Island dressing.
I do like some grilled chicken on a salad.
Okay, so there are exceptions. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Ghouls, This Ghouls for You edition, Halloween themed. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy, fruit salad. Yummy, yummy, fruit salad. Yummy, yummy, fruit salad. Yummy, yummy, fruit salad.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have another jam-packed show coming up tomorrow. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. He'll be here in hour number one.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of court cases.
Lots of enemies being arrested and jailed.
Yeah, lots of things going on with Jim, for us to kick around with Jim Santel. So that is tomorrow in hour number one. Hour number two, Hans Breitenmoser is going to join us. He is a frequent guest on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Mm-hmm.
And we got him on a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
He's a farmer in Wisconsin.
He's a dairy farmer in Lincoln County, and he is going to be talking mainly about how the beef topic last week, the comments about Argentinian beef and how this is going to be affecting farmers, and he will be speaking on this matter, and I'm very much looking forward to having him.
Yeah, me too. And then J.R. Radcliffe will be here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for our audio sorbet tomorrow to talk all things sports. Mm-hmm. Packers, of course, beating the Steelers on Sunday. Goodbye, Aaron Rodgers. and what is coming up next for them and the Bucks and much, much more. Yeah. Probably won't talk about the Badgers. That's one of those things we'll just pretend never happened.
Look, I don't know a lot about college sports and football, college football, but I was raised with the Badgers were always a elite
a juggernaut
team. And to be told that not only are they not good this season, but they haven't been good for a while, it's like, wait, when did this happen?
And in the last couple of years. Ooh,
yeah, I saw the record. Good Lord.
Not good. Anyway, it is 10:54, Kelvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We are doing Halloween-themed tisbets all this week.
Ooh.
Halloween is on Friday. Calvin found this one from UPI. Here he is, Ben Hooper, our guy.
Ben,
where is he, Ben? We've missed him. The headline reads, creepy costumed figures on family's porch turn out to be their relatives. Alexandria Police Department had to open into investigation into a potential attempted burglary after three figures dressed in creepy Halloween costumes were recorded by a family's doorbell camera when they approached the front door. Department issued an appeal for information asking residents to look at their own security cameras to find out if these people were breaking into homes. Turns out, they determined the three people were teenage boys related to the people that lived in the house. The teens had been assisted by three adult family members. Let's go play a prank.
Yeah.
Well, and go lurk on their porch and look like you might be breaking in. It'll be hilarious. It'll be so funny.
Jane is anti-prank.
I think pranks are mean.
Okay.
I do. For me, my team, and my community, this represents a moral failure, according to Alexandria Police Chief Tarek McGuire. He said, a moral failure where consequences could have been deadly. I mean, what if these people, someone had owned a gun in there and they thought that someone was menacing them?
Unfortunately, that's the world we do live in now, too. And I mean, I don't know, moral failure? That feels like a heavy-duty phrase, but yeah.
He says,
I mean,
these are not pranks to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. I hope this is a lesson learned, not just for this particular family, but for anyone in the community during Halloween. They are not filing any charges.
I would hope not.
Which is good.
Yeah. I go back. I mean, like, pranks, it's I don't think you should go elaborate. And you shouldn't try to hurt someone. But there are some things that are just like low grade fun that can be done. This, I don't know. Like, I go back and forth. You're right. There could have been consequences of a high and tragic scale.
Yes, a tragic scale. Thankfully, this did not happen.
No.
But maybe, I don't know, don't do that. Right?
I got nothing here because I'm trying to think of what else they could have done, but there's nothing else but just gone up to the camera and just said, waving high and being like, hi, we're us and have a good day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's just the fact that some adults thought that this was a good idea and they helped them out. Yeah, let's do this. Don't.
Sometimes adults are not as smart as they think they are.
I think you make a very good point.
Yeah.
Just look at our government. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Like I said, we have a busy, busy show coming up for you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, if you haven't yet, sign up for the Civic Media Daily Newsletter.
Yes.
Called Civic Media Today. Go to
civicmediatoday.substack.com.
What Greg said.
Yep.
Go there.
And you can sign up right now. You can sign up and you will receive it. Like, it'll be in your inbox probably sometime today. It's that quick and easy, and it's a great snapshot of what's going around the network, not just news stories, but podcasts.
Sports.
Clips from shows. And, you know, hey, pass it along to a friend. Say, hey, I listen to Civic Media. I really let you check it out. Check out what they have, and then they can sign up. They can start listening and get out there in the world.
And then you'll be ready for our next multi-state text-to-win contest, which could be coming soon.
I've heard rumors.
What are our rumors? Thank you. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and listening and watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Pete Schwabba, Robert Pilite, and so much more. Mm-hmm. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The Toronto Blue Jays could take the World Series crown Friday for the first time in 32 years.
And the Blue Jays are headed home, one win from a championship.
The call from Fox. The Blue Jays beat the L.A. Dodgers 6-1 in Game 5 tonight. A trade deal between the U.S. and China could be announced within hours after Chinese President Xi met with President Trump in South Korea.
Recent trade tensions between the U.S. and China led to this meeting. President Trump appeared optimistic about reaching an agreement.
We're going to have a fantastic relationship for a long period of time.
Speaking through an interpreter, President Xi signaled he was ready to make a deal.
Our two countries are fully able to help each other succeed and prosper together.
President Trump did not respond to a question about his social media post just ahead of the meeting, where he stated other